Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's Low Odor Spray Paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum Spray Paints now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Today on The Grave Talks, horror at the Hinsdale House, a conversation with David Taylor and Christy Grisham. David Taylor and Christy Grisham are no strangers to the paranormal. They have had many years of combined experience investigating and discussing the world of the supernatural, although nothing could prepare them for what they would encounter at the infamous Hinsdale House. They'd soon discover something much stronger and darker than they ever had experienced before. Today, we discuss their terrifying experience on The Grave Talks.
Well, it started at a very young age. I think I was like either 5 or 6 years old, and I was looking through a photo book with my grandmother, and we were looking through some pictures, and I was like, oh, this is such a great picture. And my grandmother goes, oh, that's your babcia, you know? And I go, oh, I know who that is. Mm-hmm. And she goes, how do you know who that is? And I go, oh, I see her all the time. So I started seeing her around the house and in the house for a very, very long time. Also, I was able to see people's auras when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I used to call them people's rainbows.
Okay.
And so the best thing about my family, it was never discouraged. It was always encouraged. My grandmother was into the spiritual nature of things. Pardon me. And so it's been a fantastic journey that I kind of left a little bit throughout my teenage years and my college years, you know. And then I had the pleasure of moving to the Pacific Northwest. And that's really, really where it really started to spark for me, of being able to investigate such places as, you know, the Shanghai tunnels in Portland, Oregon. Anywhere you go in Portland is just extremely, extremely haunted. You know, going to the wreck of the Irondale, and also investigating Fort Stevens historic area. That was a great investigation. Also, Kells in Seattle. There are many different things that led me to Christy Grissom. You know, with the starting of our haunted lives and meeting this wonderful woman. And if she can, I would love her to tell her story of her journey.
Yeah. How did it all start for you, Christy?
Well, the fact that he called me a lovely woman kind of threw me off.
we'll add a couple bleeps to it to make it sound worse than it actually was. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, you want long-winded? Here we go. No. Mine started way before I can actually really put a stamp on it. But if I was going to put a stamp on it, it would be around the age of 5 or 6 at my grandmother's house in Stephenville, Texas. And there was a person that walked next to the pull-out couch bed that my brother and I slept on when we visited. And she didn't look right. I mean, even at that age, I knew she didn't fit. Now I realize it was, you know, period clothing, you know, probably dated back to the late 1800s. And she just walked past me, and just the feeling of, do I tell somebody? Do I not tell somebody? Well, fast forward a few years, more things happened. And growing up, and fortunately, David had an outlet. I, however, did not. I was the daughter of a Baptist preacher. I was heavily into the church. And I didn't have a problem expressing those things, I guess, because I was adopted and I wasn't naturally theirs. So I had no filter. I didn't get that genetically. So I would spout out what I saw or the dream I had. And that was just not, it was too, I guess, abrasive for my family or our surroundings in the 70s and the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So that should have told me that there was something going on with me as far as having abilities, being able to tap into the other realm or the one foot in the spirit realm or whatnot, however you want it to call it. But as I grow older and kind of like David, there were years in my life that were filled with severe trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think it took a backstage to all of that. I didn't have any abilities during those years. And I think the universe purposely does that for people because if you're going through such a traumatic life experience, they don't want to add to. And I don't know, that's just my opinion. Other people may say it's bullshit or whatever, but for me, that's how it felt. Then later on, I got into a stable place in my life, and it was like it hit me with a ton of bricks. Some of the shows started coming out. What was it called? The Haunting. Everybody knows The Haunting.
Sure.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
And I mean, it's not like the first. Penn State with Brian Buell.
Ryan Buell. Yeah.
I watched him and Katrina and Michelle Ballinger back before they were even what they are today. And it was just something there that I'm like, oh my God. It was like the light bulb went off. This is what I have, or some sort of the variation. And this is what I need to further research, because I was having entities crawl up my legs at night. I was having things come to me and try to speak to me. And in hindsight, they just wanted help. Mm-hmm. But it scared the shit out of me, you know? But apparently the universe deemed that I was okay to go forth with that type of thing. And now here I am with David.
When you had those experiences, or you said something was crawling up your leg and having these experiences with entities, these sort of things, if I'm understanding the timeline right, they started to occur once your life was kind of back on a stable track. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now the thing crawling up my leg, it did seem a little ominous. Mm-hmm. It always waited until my boyfriend left the apartment to go to work, and I would think it was him coming back in, you know, for, you know, whatever.
Sure.
You know, but it wasn't him. And I did, at that point, I did reach out to the only thing that I knew to reach out to, which was something there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I didn't have a really good experience with them trying to help me. And that could have been my lack of explaining what was going on, or they just, who knows. Mm-hmm. But it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth as to how to go forward with this. So I knew things were happening, but just as a child, as an adult, I was still in that same predicament of, who's going to believe me?
Yeah.
Am I going crazy? You know, the military's already said I'm freaking crazy. I'm ex-military. So the military's already deemed me crazy. So it's like, do I really want to put this out there?
Sure. I mean, and tell me what happened there where you did contact someone. You weren't very happy with what happened. What exactly went on in that experience that made you go, I don't know about this?
It was, I have a really good ability to read people, especially face to face, but I can also read people's intent or their emotions there as I'm speaking to them. And maybe I was a little biased because I was a little nervous, but I didn't feel like they had an interest or believed my story. So that in itself right there, I'm like, to heck with you.
Sure.
You know, and not saying that I wouldn't communicate with them again, because they're still an established thing in the Carolinas. But that particular thing years ago, which was about 8 years ago, still stands out in my head.
So when you're having these sort of things happen to you, and you feel you're in a good place now, and you said everything kind of calmed down or stopped while you were going through those years of trauma, and then boom, this stuff is happening. What's going through your mind? I mean, where are you mentally in a place of going, trying to identify what's even happening? What are you thinking is going on?
There's there's various different levels of me explaining that. I still have trouble with things on a daily basis from PTSD and military and whatnot. So David knows. David definitely knows things. They will attach to me very quickly. They will.
Christy is a firelight to the other side. She is very attractive to them because of her energy. And if you ever meet Christy, you'll understand what I'm saying, because when she walks in a room, you can really feel the power. And I always quote or paraphrase something from Buffy the Vampire Slaying once more with feeling of when the when the demon is sitting down. And the actress comes in and he goes, there's real power. And that's what happens with Christy. Now, with the entities that attach to her, it's really weird, Tony, because it's not that she's not inviting, but she's like a light and a moth just keeps coming to it. You know, she doesn't want to talk about this, but I'll give you a little thing of when we were at the Hinsdale house. And this chills me to the bone about what happened there. And I know people debate about the Hinsdale house all the time, but the experiences we had there were unmistakably real. Yeah, I'll never go back to that house whatsoever. And so we had a really great session. Early in the morning, we stayed the night, and we had a REM pod in the closet there, and the REM pod goes off at 6 a.m. And our buddy, Josh, with Attic Junkie Paranormal, he reprogrammed it so that the Halloween theme would come on. So that woke us up.
Nice touch.
Yeah, yes. At 6 a.m. in the Hinsdale house. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great touch. So fast forward, we have this great investigation during the morning and things like that, and we're getting ready to leave, and Christy goes out. There's a pond out there with a bench and everything like that, and she goes, come and get me in 20 minutes, David, because she just needed to really ground herself and get back to her reality where she needed to, because everything that happened the night before was incredible, with two attachments, you know, things trying to come out of the forest of where I dealt with another person there, trying to protect Christy and everybody else. And Christy's sitting on this bench, and go up and I go, okay, it's been 20 minutes, Christy, come on, let's start getting ready to go. And she's just smiling and smiling, and she's looking over towards where there's just some tall brush and where the forest is. She goes, yeah, I've made my peace here, but there's something here that is just not wanting me to go, or not wanting to let me go. You know, I go, well, what is it, Christy? And she goes, well, it's a large entity with a bald head with red eyes. And I look over there and I saw an outline of something like it. I didn't see the full apparition or anything like that. That rocked me to my core. So I immediately grabbed her hand, pardon me, and then proceeded to go in the house and grab my luggage and the keys to the car, and pulled everybody else out by the ears, to get in the car, because it basically let her know and let me know that it was time to go. And if we were going to stay there anymore, I think there would have been some problems. So she is, and that's well, not that the first the time. First,
well, yeah, that's the first time that I had ever been. I had no idea that the house was on a ley line.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know.
I also had no idea, because I go in blind a lot. I had no idea about the Native American, about so many things. And when I first got there, I think I offended something without, unbeknownst to myself, because there's a tree there. Tony, have you ever been to Hinsdale?
I have not, but I think for the audience, and I've talked to people about it before, but for the audience who may not know much about the Hinsdale House, why don't you guys give a little background and spell a little history out for everybody so they understand kind of the origins of this place and what's going on there.
Right. Well, of course, the Hinsdale has been made, you know, somewhat famous because of the people that have gone there, like Nick Groff and numerous people on TV, but there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of Native American stuff that goes on there, and there was a family that was affected. But when we got there, the first thing they wanted us to do was to go and give an offering to the offering tree, where, you know, to say, hey, we are here in peace. We mean no disrespect. But of course, I get to the tree and I'm like, okay, no, this doesn't feel right. I walked around to the back side of the tree where nobody goes, and there's nothing hanging back there because nobody leaves the offerings there. Mm-hmm. The only thing in the back of the tree was a besom hanging with the brooms down. Now, a besom, for people that don't know, is a broom that witches will use in clearing spaces. It's not the one you fly, mm-hmm. even though that would be freaking awesome, but it clears spaces. But because I am a witch, I was automatically drawn to that back side. Mm-hmm. And so I hung my offering back there. Now, I don't know if that was offensive to the Native Americans, because, you know, Native Americans have shamans or shamans, however you want to pronounce it, and they have witch doctors. So I don't see how that would be offensive. But from that moment on, they, when it comes up on the ovulus or any ITC, mm-hmm. I was the enemy. Mm-hmm. I was called the enemy.
Yeah, immediately.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Immediately after she did that, Tony, we started seeing things running around in the forest up there.
Yeah.
Now, could it have been animals? Absolutely. But I was seeing things. Josh was seeing things, and so was Tiffany. So, and Christy was very mesmerized after that. It seemed like, it wasn't like she was a different person, but it's really hard to explain unless you
kind of like a manic.
Yeah.
Manic episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Christy was all over, you know, for the rest of that night. And just to add one more thing on the Hinsdale House, it is, this year is the 40th anniversary of the exorcism that actually took place in the house. So the house itself was exercised.
And let's pause for a second there and give some background. Why was it exercised? What happened with the family in the house that they needed to exercise the house?
Well, I think it really goes back to just basically just the land itself, mm-hmm. of what Christy really kind of touched on.
Yeah.
of.
Yeah, but there was a family, and yes. I don't want to misquote this. So this is me just remembering there was a family there. I believe it was in the 70s.
Yes.
And they had three children, two girls and a boy. I could be wrong with that. But there was one girl that was extremely affected. And if I'm not mistaken, she was pulled out of the bed. It just, I can't remember the specifics, and I may be getting it mixed up with the Conjuring House, because they all run together after a while. I spent the night in the Conjuring House, so
suddenly Andrea Perrin's in the other bedroom.
right, you know. Well, Andrea, God bless her soul. You know, that house, I spent the whole night there with only four other people, and that is a life changing thing that I still have yet to completely talk about. That one, Hinsdale, and an experience that I had at the Warren Paracon with the Annabelle doll. Those are three things that I have yet to come public with. And I'm sure I will eventually, but I guess I've come a little bit public with what, well, David kind of came public with the half. Whatever,
it's not the full story. It was a great example of how Christy attracts things.
Yeah,
I mean, there's many more things and experiences that I've had with Christy.
Yeah,
that are just absolutely incredible. And she touched on one with the Annabelle doll. So.
And I want to hear more about the investigation, because obviously you cut right to the closing scene where everybody runs out of the house. And you get the hell out. But now we need to back up a little bit and go back to the area of, okay, why did everybody? Now I know the trigger. I know the triggering object there. What happened there to make you say, okay, we're done. Have a good night. Let's go to Denny's. But let's go back to the investigation. You get there. What are you expecting? What are you looking for when you get there? And really kind of walk us through your experience in that investigation of that house.
I was expecting everything that I did not get.
Okay.
I was not expecting my whole world and the way I thought and viewed things as a paranormal investigator and as a... I hate to use the word psychic medium, because then people expect that of me. And that's, it comes and goes with me. Mm-hmm. It's selective. I'm not a Patty Negri. I'm not, you know, all these wonderful, you know, psychic mediums. Mm-hmm. It's just because I haven't learned how to quite hone in on it. And it's probably a good thing right now. but I was not expecting to be completely thrown upside down and view the world of the paranormal differently than I had for the past 10 years in that one fucking night. Excuse my language.
No, and I guess I'm curious about that. And you know, it's quite a statement to make. How did this house have that effect on you? What sort of experiences did you have that made that dramatic of a shift in your outlook and your perception of paranormal investigating, of ghosts, of all of this?
Well, I mean, it not only affected me. Am I avoiding that question or what? it affected David tremendously.
Sure.
It affected Josh tremendously. I mean, I do practice. I consider myself in a vampiric witch lifestyle, so I do practice witchcraft. Mm-hmm. and one of our people that were with us was, something got a hold of him and his eyes went black, and I am not saying this lightly. Promise you, I am not saying this lightly. And this is a man that just laughs about everything and doesn't even, you know, oh, big deal, big deal, big deal. but it took me over an hour to get him back to where I thought it was his personality. Yeah. So not only was I dealing with my own internal struggles, and while I'm there, actually dial back a little bit, when I first got there and I couldn't figure out why I was getting bombarded with things that didn't make sense. I was hearing other voices, other people, they were coming at me like people just sitting there throwing softballs at you nonstop. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was in a pinball machine. Just boom, 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 boom. I messaged my friend Patty Negri, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. This has never happened to me. I'm confused and I don't have control.
Yeah. That has to be terrifying. I mean, when you're there and you have someone that's close to you, and you've done investigations before, it's not your first, you know, go around, but then to look at the eyes of someone that's there with you that you know, and when you say their eyes were black, was it literally, was their pupils, was it just the whole thing's black? What were you seeing?
Okay, when we were outside and David made me aware, because I had to be drawn back in several times. Mm-hmm. And David, it was like, Christy, because Josh was saying, nobody touch me. I only want Christy. I need Christy.
Christy, let me just interrupt. And
yeah,
then,
go ahead,
then
David.
You can go in there. So Josh was in the house, and Josh was in the house by himself, Tony. Mm-hmm. We have video this because at the Hinsdale house, they record everything until you tell them to turn the cameras off, all in IR. Josh went up to the bedroom and sat in a chair for about 24 minutes and was talking to himself or talking to an energy, a spirit, an entity, anything whatsoever. And after that, because I've watched this video, after that is when everything started to happen. So, Christy, go back in of how you were dealing with Josh. I just wanted to give you a little backstory.
Sure. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because I wasn't there for that. So, thank you, David, for putting that in. So, I went and grabbed him. And he's like, don't let anybody touch me. Don't let anybody talk to me. So, he was talking, but it was a very... I know this is cliche, very lower, deeper voice. Mm-hmm. It was not his normal voice.
It was not his voice.
I'm not saying demonic because I'm one of the big advocators of not everything is demonic.
Sure.
Very few things are demonic, but a lot of things are evil. So I pulled him away as far as I could from the house. And we were underneath a tree and there was a light. Now, there was ambient light, but as I'm trying to focus on his eyes, it was solid. You might could see like the outer. I saw no pupil.
Yeah.
It was him looking at me. And I felt like from the inside, he was screaming, help me, help me.
Yeah.
But that's not what he was saying.
What was he saying?
I hate to paraphrase. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? He was just total confusion.
Sure.
And he's just, help me, help me, help me. But in his eyes, it was a lot deeper than what was coming out of his mouth. And I could feel that. And unbeknownst to me, I was not quite off the property. So luckily, a lady that is familiar with the land, she's like, let's get him further off the property. So when we got him off the property, I was able to, whatever it was, I got it to release him. I got it to release him. And who knows why he was vulnerable, because this has never happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
I mean, there's got to be some fear, at least in my mind, I would be going through like, what if this person doesn't come out of this? What if this is them going forward? I mean, or even when they do pop out of it, what's still going to be lingering in the background?
Sure.
And you know, nobody really knows.
They don't. But what we did with Josh after that, so Christy got him off the property, and then we started getting everybody around him. There's a fire pit in the backyard. And so we were just making sure everybody's around Josh, making sure he was okay. Christy did an incredible job with just making sure that, you know, he was not getting affected anymore. Now, this comes in a story where Shannon, I think, was the other psychic medium that was there. Her and I, well, I have a tendency to draw, you know, unhappy ghosts towards me is what I'll call them.
Okay.
And you don't draw it. It's that they look at you as this is a big dude and I'm going to see if I can kick its ass. So you're like a challenge to them.
Yeah. I'm 6'7". I'm like 6'7", 290. So what happens is, and this is where I think it ties in an almost like a cute little bow here of what Christy saw. There was a rush of negative energy that was coming down the hill. It was affecting me. It got me very emotional. Mm-hmm. And so Shannon came over and we kind of just joined forces. She grabbed my hand and we just really tried to battle this back because I think it was rushing towards Josh again. I don't know if this happened or this negative energy was coming down because of if they were kind of disrespected by Christy, because I don't think she disrespected them in the beginning when we made our offerings to the tree. But I think the land was letting us know its power and what it could do. And so with all three of these things that happened, I mean, it was not a very good night's sleep.
And that was just outside of the house.
Yeah. And this is within like, you know, the first 3-4 hours that we were there, and we still had to spend the night there. And we can delve into that if you want to.
Yeah. Was there a moment where you said, there's a nice La Quinta down the road. I think they have continental breakfast and I really like the waffles. Let's go for the waffles. And,
you know, Tony, I pride myself as, I don't know if this is a stupid thing or just me having a big ego because I'm a Sagittarius, Leo, Gemini. So it's probably the big ego, but I pride myself in I will go anywhere and spend the night and I'm not going to run. Mm-hmm. If I put my mind to it, I'm going to do it. There's been very few times that I've actually ran. Now, I didn't run out, but I may have ran from the low Jen, that specific location. So no, there was no part of me that I was curious as to why this is happening to me here and it's never happened to me at other locations. So that's what made me kind of realize I don't know shit.
Okay.
I don't know diddly squat. It doesn't matter how many years you are in and how good you think you are, how many pieces of equipment you have.
Yeah.
The spirit world, if they want to, they're going to put you in your place.
I call it chakabuku, a quick spiritual kick to the head.
I thought you were going to say Chaka Khan. Like,
No.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. No. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me see. Chaka Khan. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a new one to start. And the thing is, you could start using it, and half of the people would have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
They'll start saying it's Chaka Khan.
David, our next show, I'm going to have a Chaka Khan wig.
Oh.
In honor of Tony.
That's awesome.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Nice.
I will do it.
That wraps up part one of our conversation. In part two, how does one protect themselves from dark spirits with ill intent? Why do the spirits of the Hinsdale House consider Christy the enemy? Does the constant investigation and attempted communication with the dead make a place like the Hinsdale House worse or more active? And is there ever a way to truly cleanse a location like the Hinsdale House once it's so active? Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.